Welcome, Eagles fans, to another episode of Locked in the Film Room over at the Locked on Eagles Network. It's me again, Johnny Page, with you to break down another preseason loss, which obviously doesn't matter at all. But just from the get-go, actually, starting, I don't like preseason at all. I've never liked preseason. I like watching certain players. I like watching depth. But in general, I find preseason very stale and very boring, especially as you have no All-22. So you have to watch the TV copy quite a few times and try and get replays back. And having to listen to the Patriots commentary is enough to drive any man insane. But I actually enjoyed this preseason game. I thought it was quite competitive overall, maybe because it's the Eagles and Patriots, maybe the two best teams in the NFL. And there's a little bit of revenge from the Patriots, maybe. But either way, I thought it was a competitive game, and I thought actually there was quite a lot to learn. So I posted some of my favourite clips on Twitter, and I've got a thread up there now on my Twitter, at JohnnyPage9, which you can go and check out. And what I said I'd do is I would use this podcast to sort of talk through the whole game in general and look at some of those plays that I posted there as well. So you can listen to the podcast and then go and check out the Twitter thread, and you see some of the plays that I'm talking about. So let's start. I'm just going to go through each position, basically starting on offense, then going through the defense about what stood out to me, what I liked, what I didn't like. So starting off straight away, Nick Foles was really, really bad. And Nick Foles has these games. He's a very, very hit and miss player. He's always been very hot and cold. And when he's on, he's pretty good, but when he's off, he's really off. And he was just simply off today. I don't know why. I have no explanation. He just sometimes is. Even when I really liked him a few years ago, he has those games when he's just not on it and he doesn't see the field very well. There was a couple of short throws that were just bad to Kamar Aiken, but there was one that just sort of summed it up to me. He was late on a deep out to Mike Wallace. And Mike Wallace was like had 2-3 yards separation. It was an easy throw. And Foles was just so slow at getting his drop. By the time he actually got hit his drop and released the ball, Wallace had already well broken off his route. And then also, the throw just had no velocity on it. There was absolutely no arm strength to see. So it sailed big time and Wallace caught it. But by this point, it was 2 yards out of bounds. And that just wasn't good enough, really. That's a routine throw that you have to make. On the plus point of the quarterbacks, though, Nate Sudfeld had a really, really good game. I wasn't entirely sure about his game last week. I thought maybe we were too optimistic about his performance last week. But I thought this week it was really good. There was some really nice deep ball placement. He has a really, really good touch. There was one to Bryce Treggs that was broken up by Stephon Gilmore. Actually, a pretty decent route by Treggs, but a very good play by Gilmore. It was just perfectly placed. There was a deep throw to Andre Carter when he was hit, which was excellent. I think there was one where he got play action, actually, because Smallwood didn't really pick up the blitzer, and he was actually hit and falling backwards as he made the throw. But it was a brilliant throw. He also showed off his accuracy on a couple of crossing routes, one again to DeAndre Carter and one on a three-level stretch play to Dallas Goedert that we'll talk about a little bit later. A couple of other throws to Treggs as well, moving on the left, one that I really liked. You see his arm strength on the move. And the touchdown to Richard Rodgers was absolutely superb. They ran the same play again after failing the first time to hit it up. This time with Richard Rodgers running the out or corner route to the corner of the end zone. And Sudfeld was falling backwards, but he knew it was zero coverage, so he knew he could afford to throw it while leaning back. And he put it in a spot where only Richard Rodgers could go and get it. There was also a really good deep shot out of his own end zone to Shelton Gibson, where he perfectly placed it. So there was nothing the cornerback could do, and that was in sort of rhythm with how good Shelton Gibson's route was on that deep ball. So overall, really good things from Sudfeld. Obviously, we know Nick Foles is out injured now. I think we all expect Carson Wentz to play week one. But to be honest, yes, he was Super Bowl MVP, Pro Bowl MVP, of course, famously. But I really wouldn't mind if Sudfeld plays over Foles. I think if Foles is so hot and cold. I mean, anyone who's listened to me for a while knows Johnny Page 9 on Twitter. The 9 is for Foles. I was his absolute biggest fan. But when that guy's off, he is so, so off. And we were just lucky that he was on when it was the Super Bowl last year. But I think going forward, it's not a disaster if Foles does not play. A couple of things in the running backs stood out. Firstly, JJ got beat in pass protection early on, which is something he really needs to improve. Patrick Chung just shoved him out of the way, and Patrick Chung's not that strong, and JJ is seriously strong. And I know that's technique as well, but some of it, Ajayi's just got to be a bit tougher when he's pass protecting. He's got to treat it like he would treat if he was running the ball himself. If he had that ball in his hands and he was running towards Patrick Chung, he would not be tackled as easily as he was pushed aside in pass protection. He did have a better rep later on though, which is good to see. But I absolutely love how JJ runs. I don't really think we talk about it enough, actually, as Eagles fans. he runs with so much power and such good burst. And I think there's an acceptance, I said this on Twitter the other day, that JJ will just leave at the end of the season and when he comes out of a contract. But I'm not sure I buy it, because he doesn't play much on third down, because of his injury history. I don't think he'll get a huge contract, and I think the Eagles could afford, hopefully, if they make some moves at other positions, to keep him around, because he's a brilliant runner. Wendell Smallwood isn't good. I said Wendell Smallwood wasn't good last year and got killed for it all off-season. Didn't have a great rookie year, hasn't really shown me much since. Too weak in pass protection, again, got pushed back by a linebacker into Sudfield on one of those deep throws, and just doesn't run particularly well. He's too passive and he's too slow to find a hole and get through it. He's got sort of the opposite of Corey Clement in some regards. Matt Jones isn't making the roster though. If you have hands like that, then you can't afford to make this team. So we know it's going to be Ajayi, Clement and Sproles. That last position, I have no idea. I'd give it to Josh Adams, but I don't really know. It will probably come down to special teams. Whoever plays on punt, kickoff coverage, they can make the roster, because they're not going to get many carries, most likely. Wide receivers, didn't look like they got a lot of separation early on the starting group, but Shelton Gibson is clearly the man to talk about. Incredibly improved from last year. Not just in deep routes either. We knew he could run a decent go route. We knew he was fast. But his overall route running is so, so much better. That touchdown that we've all seen a million times by now, it was just a perfect release, little quick stutter release. He had his whole body turn when he was running inside on that slant. His head was facing in, his shoulders were inwards. There was absolutely no indication that he was going to break it outside. And then really quickly, unbelievably quick turn. And cornerback in coverage, McCourty just had absolutely no idea that he was going to cut back inside. And when you don't know as a cornerback what the receiver's going to do, unless you're an unbelievably good athlete, you don't have the time to recover. And in the end, McCourty sort of just gave up on it. Also, superb deep catch, perfect ball tracking, really good route, got inside and then sort of came back outside to stack the cornerbacks. There was no way the cornerback could get to the ball without going through Shelton Gibson. Absolutely perfect. They're really good to see. DeAndre Carter also had a few little reps that I quite liked. Maybe worth seeing him. Maybe he's a sixth receiver again, going against Kamar Aiken. Also, if any of you don't know, if you don't follow me on Twitter, I do stat projections every year where I base it off a very complicated document that talks about how many yards Wentz will get, how many touchdowns he'll throw, what percentage of those targets will go to each Eagles player, how many yards they'll get, etc., etc. Put this whole thing into a spreadsheet and it bangs out basically stat projections. And I'm sort of wondering whether to give Shelton Gibson more yards or more of a market target share than Matt Collins. So let me know what you think about that. I'm sort of tempted, to be honest, to give Shelton Gibson more yards than Matt Collins at this point. But who knows? Tight end, don't want to talk about Dallas Goedert too much. Touched on him a lot last week. Another very good game. Blocked really well again, which is really good to see. I mentioned he may be able to do the Trey Burton and Brent Celek role in one, and he's looking like he's doing that now. On his deep catch or his deep crossing route, a really nice three-level stretch play for the Eagles. He ran straight through Chung. It was a really good rep. He sort of made it look like he was going upfield and then cut outside at the last minute without giving any hints away again, using really good route running technique, had his eyes going down the field. Maybe should have had a touchdown, had a drop in the back of the end zone. Another good ball by Sudfield, actually. While we're on that point, mention that play on Twitter. Sudfield had a slant flat on the left side, or a double slant, I can't remember, but either way, you expected the ball pre-snap to go to the slant against man coverage, because it looked like the Patriots were going to go cover zero. The Patriots' cornerback or safety was sort of hiding behind the defensive line. He actually dropped right into that slot where the slant would be thrown, and if Sudfield had thrown that ball based on the pre-snap look, it probably would have been a pick six. Instead, he noticed that defender lurking in the hole, left that side of the field really quickly, eliminated both reads and got the ball back to the other side and gave Dallas Goedert a chance to go up and get a touchdown. In the end, he couldn't, but it really was a good play by Sudfield, and it was a shame that Goddard couldn't hang on. Offensive line, not the greatest night. Few players to talk about here. Big V, right, what are we saying about Big V after this game? I've sort of defended Big V from some people. I know people like the great Michael Kist and Ben Solak, who I have a lot of time for, of course. They don't like Big V at all, and I sort of get that side of the equation. I also think he's good enough to be a starter, I think. I'm not sure. I'm very in the middle. Some people think he's very good. Some people don't think he's good. I'm sort of in the middle. Apparently, he's been good throughout training camp in one-on-ones. If you read the reports, he was very good down the stretch last year. And yes, there are chips to help him out. We do have a tight end chip on his side more. I mentioned that a lot last year. But he still goes up against pass rushes every so often, especially on third down, where he does just have to block them. And he had a good game towards the end of last season, a lot of good games. But this was not his night at all. So he allowed, per Pro Football Focus, 13 pressures, which, yeah, that's that's a lot to give up. There is something I wonder about this, though, because I know I'm not an offensive line technique expert, but you can see that when he gets to his set, he sort of gets stuck in the mud and it's easy to beat him to the edge. And this is honestly just me thinking. I have no inside knowledge. I wonder if the coaching staff are trying to correct this weakness he has, and in doing so, he's oversetting to the outside and now he's getting killed on the inside, which means at this point he basically can't block anything. And I wonder if the season was to start tomorrow, the coaching staff would say to him, listen, forget what we've said the last 2 weeks. Go out there and play like you did last year. And if you get beat on the edge occasionally, or live with it, but at least you're not giving up 13 pressures, because he can't keep playing like that. Taylor Hart didn't have a good night at right tackle either. Had a couple of rough reps. Gave up a sack. Matt Pryor, a lot of people wanted me to focus on him. Looked at him a little bit, didn't watch him too much. Thought he's a really, really powerful run blocker. I posted one clip of him double teaming a defensive lineman and then getting up in space on a linebacker and just basically shoving him on the floor. So really good to see in the run game. Pass protection, not so sure. Would need to see him in more of a proper game situation where he has to deal with stunts and better players, really. But yeah, run blocking good. Needs to work on pass protection. Another one I wasn't too sure about, Chance Womack. When we signed him, everyone was telling me on Twitter, Chance Womack's going to start. Jeff Stoutland, he'll be the guy he was in college. And I watched his tape when he was at the Titans, and I said he's not going to start for us. And every time he came in last year, I said he would not be good. And he was not good, because his tape is really bad. So I think if you're expecting Chance Womack to suddenly turn the corner, I would bet against it. I would imagine Stefan Wisniewski, let's hope he's healthy all year, because I don't trust Chance Womack really a lot. So anyway, moving on to the defence. Defensive line, didn't see much from Barnett again, which is a bit of a shame. Stephen Means is too good not to make this roster. Said it last week, we'll say it again. Got quite a few pressures. Was getting after the quarterback all day. A lot of hurries, some good ball rushes. He's just, in my opinion, simply too good not to be on this roster. If that means you keep six defensive ends, then you do it, because you don't want to let him get away, especially with the age profile of some of our edge defenders. I mentioned last week, Elijah Qualls had a good game. This week, a little bit disappointing. He moves really well and he's really athletic, but he takes himself out of so many plays. I don't know where he goes sometimes. He's obviously desperate to get to the quarterback or to try and make a wow play. But I don't think it's because he's small. He shouldn't be able to get moved like that easily. He seems to take himself out. He tries to come up with this incredible play and it all just seems to go wrong at times. So yeah, not a great game from him. Another player who didn't have a brilliant game was Jordan Hicks, who we'd like to see come back to as good as he was in 2016. He gave up a play to James White where James White stiff-armed him on third and one and got to the edge. But we'll mention on that play, mentioned it on Twitter, check out the clip. Razzle Douglas has to set the edge. Jordan Hicks is not the edge defender, and if Razzle Douglas was setting the edge like he should have done on that play, because Derek Barnett crashed inside, and I assume he was told to crash inside, Barnett has to keep James White inside there. That will give Jordan Hicks a chance to make the play on third and one. And then we're all saying what a great play by Jordan Hicks. So it's a team sport. Individuals can do incredible things at times, but if a defender like Douglas doesn't set the edge, it's always going to be harder for a linebacker to make that tackle, because James White knows that he can just break it outside. Nate Gehry, I posted this clip as well. There was a blitz he had where he should have just charged towards the quarterback, and he saw the running back and sort of stopped in his tracks, which I don't really get that. You're a linebacker. Yes, you're a former safety, but you're playing linebacker now. There's a running back in pass protection. Run for him. Don't see him and sort of slow down, because that takes off the pressure off Brady or any quarterback for that matter. I should have liked to see him run through that. Douglas, moving on to cornerback position, Douglas, as I mentioned, gave up the edge on that play, but he did have a couple of really good tackles coming downhill, so hopefully that's just something he has to learn. And Vontae Maddox gave up the touchdown, wasn't good technique at all there. He sort of wasn't really covering Chris Hogan's slant route. He was just sort of holding him, and that meant when Chris Hogan broke it off backside, there was no way he was going to read it, because he wasn't really reacting to what Hogan was doing at all. However, Maddox is hyper-competitive, very physical at the stem of the route. It's just a very physical play in general. There's a third down play where he got pushed back a little bit at the stem of the route because he's not the biggest guy. But you saw how competitive he was and how quick he was to quickly and break on the route and drive forward and prevent the pass from being incomplete. Also, Stephen Means had pressure on that play, which I think helped him. Sidney Jones obviously had that one highlight where he gave up the touchdown, which wasn't great. But he's very competitive, as well as Maddox, very feisty player. There, we saw some good, especially in off coverage. I think Mike Mayock has mentioned this himself, that he thinks Jones is better driving forwards. And I think I agree with that. Jones in the press position at the moment, not too sure about him. You saw Sidney Jones actually struggle when pressing, going all the way back to college against Juju Smith-Schuster. Who's obviously, and then it turned out to be a great NFL wide receiver, but still, I think Jones will have some learning curve, shall we say. I think if he does start the season in the slot, which we're all expecting him to, I think there will be some teams that target him early on, and I'd like to see him a little bit quicker on a few plays. I still think he's coming back to full health and full fitness. We're just hoping that he gets back to the player he once was. There was a good breakup on a deep pass to Cordell Patterson, but I felt he was beat a little bit and the ball was underthrown. So it's one of those things where, yeah, he made the pass breakup, which was a good play. But if the ball was properly thrown, I'm not sure he would have had a chance to make the pass breakup because Cordell Patterson sort of ran straight past him. Last position, safety. A little bit concerning with depth here, in my opinion. Corey Graham had a really bad rep on the James White touchdown for a screen pass, where he got himself in all sorts of weird positions. I don't really know what he was doing. Trey Sullivan, I'm not sure about yet, to be honest. There are some plays where he seems to take himself out of the play a lot. I'm not convinced on Trey Sullivan as a third safety. And Jeremy Reeves, similarly, looks a smart, intelligent player, but not sure about his athletic profile. The way he moves around back there. We'd need to see the All-22 really to judge safeties properly. But I'm a little bit worried because I didn't think Rodney McLeod had a great year last year, to be honest. That if something happened to Jenkins or McLeod, I'm not sure the depth is there. And also when they play that free safety package when Jenkins comes down hill and they play with two other safeties, it will be Corey Graham. But I'd like to see a little bit more from Trey Sullivan. So yeah, I will leave it there. Please check out the clips I posted on Twitter. Give me any feedback at JohnnyPage9. Let me know if there's anyone you want me to focus on for the third preseason game. I think overall it was a really competitive game against Patriots. We saw some good, we saw some bad. But I think there are certain things to look out for, like Sudfeld, Goddard, Shelton Gibson, which Stephen Means, which were really, really promising. And some players that I'd like to see bounce back. I think we're getting into last chance saloon now for some players, like Wendell Smallwood. Would really like to see Matt Collins do something next week. Big V's going to have a comeback game. Really want to see Barnett do something this preseason, because I mentioned on the previous podcast when we previewed the defensive line over here on Locked On Eagles that we need Barnett to be a really good starter this year. He was a 14th overall pick. It's now his second year. We've lost Vinnie Curry, who was a good player, so we need Barnett to step up. Anyway, that will do it here with me at Johnny Page, so I will speak to you after the third preseason game. Thanks, guys.